everyone. Welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan. My co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. I may not be my usual chipper self tonight on this week's episode. I've been asked by lots of people throughout the day, am I okay? I am, of course, talking about the situation that is happening in Israel. People asked if my friends and family are safe, and the answer is no, they're not. Literally all of my friends that live there either have been called up and are serving in the army, or their families literally a cousin of mine was killed in combat just a few days ago, and it's been a difficult time for everybody. So I wanted to start the show and put that out there because it's been a rough couple of days. And I mean, I'm in California, so it's nothing compared to what's going on in Israel. I have lived through a couple of wars there, but nothing compared to this. So I guess, you know, feeling a little bit of survivor's guilt, I suppose. But, you know, just thoughts and prayers, of course, with all of our friends and family and anybody who has friends and family over in Israel. And hopefully this whole situation gets mopped up and fixed and whatever resolved, I guess, is going to be what happened here. They're calling it Israel's 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, and it's the single worst day since like the Holocaust. So, Steve, you know, a whole mess load of people in Israel as well. I'm sure you've heard stories. Yeah. I hope your folks are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've not heard much, honestly. I've not reached out to anyone just yet. You know, I can imagine everyone there is pretty focused on what's going on rather than trying to respond to people that aren't there, you know, and asking them how they are. I mean, they are how they are, right? And hopefully once things kind of settle down, can reach out to them and see how things go. So it's, I don't know. That's kind of what my thoughts are on it. You know,
I don't know how active you are on social media, but
a bit. I mean, like I said, I mean, I think I learned a lot from the conversation we had just before tonight about what was going on. I saw a few things pop up the other day. I don't really follow too much of the news overall. I'll see kind of whatever comes through feeds and stuff. I don't always actively search out stuff. So, yeah, but it's unfortunate that we live in this kind of situation where people are kind of fighting and never ends, no matter where we're at, no matter what country we're in, and no matter what the, you know, situation happens to be. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that in mind, right. The show must still go on, as they say in show business. And, you know, that is also one way that we win, is continuing to live our lives as normal. So what do you got for us?
No, I mean, that specific thing, though, I had that same thing told to me when I was traveling through the Balkans and talking to people that were, you know, in Croatia and Serbia. And that was it. It's just, you know, everyone that wasn't really directly involved in it. Just, we just, you know, we go on living our life, and what happens around us is kind of happening. There's not much we can do about it. And for most people, so.
Yeah. I did see a Wall Street Journal article that was talking about how the entire Israel tech industry, which is a lot of the, you know, state-of-the-art startups that are out there are based in Israel. They're basically shut down because all of those people are now on the front lines.
Kind of working on the military.
In the war.
So. Yeah. So that's the situation. So pretty much everyone that is of age and capable is getting called in. You said it's like 300,000 people.
300,000 troops have been called up, and it may expand at this point. And that's on top of all of the people that are, you know, regularly in the army. But it remains to be seen, right? There's the U.S. is sending two aircraft carrier strike groups into the Mediterranean as probably a deterrent for, you know, other powers to basically not do anything, stay down. I think France is sending help, and Italy is sending help, and the support has been nearly unprecedented. So that's reassuring and good to see, and hopefully it'll help to, change the dynamic a little bit compared to the endless ongoing struggle that we've had before.
It's an interesting percentage, you know, when we say, 300,000 people have been called up, right? Which, you know, of course, a lot of people, right? But when you think of like that number in general compared to the U.S., it's not too big, right?
Right.
But if you think of the percentage of that, that's, you know, around a little over 3% of the population there in Israel. So basically, that would be over 9, almost 10 million people in the US if that were to happen here.
Exactly.
Can you imagine like 10 people just being, you know, having to go to the military all of a sudden? It's crazy.
Exactly. No, that's literally what's happening there.
Yeah.
I would have been called up if I were still there. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the entire city of New York going to the military. It's,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. It's yeah. You're emptying all of New York to go to relative. Anyways, all right.
Thanks for that perspective. That was a good.
That's
good point.
That's a lot. Well, let's look at the updates. Go back to what we're here for from the Google space anyways, Google updates perspective. Pretty decent number of updates that we had this week. We have about 10 of those that happened throughout the week. A couple that we saw at the end of the week, two of them there. And a few other updates in some of the other products that we have. Drive for Desktop saw an update. Version 82 came out, and Chrome release 118. Will be rolling out pretty soon. I think I'm still on 117 at the moment. I think there was also a pretty critical security release that happened, I think probably between the two episodes we had here last week and the week before. And then a few things happened.
Seems to be getting more frequent.
Yeah. Four things. I think we've got, four things here in the news that we'll cover as well. So let's run through those topics.
Yep.
We have those two silent ones that came out at the end of the week. We're adding some more emoji reactions to comments in Google Sheets. My favorite update, one of my favorite updates of the year is emojis. And next, filter by filter only fields and parameters with connected sheets for Looker. We'll update there. And then moving into those updates we saw throughout the week, we have some enhancements to EMM providers and being able to configure and bind multiple Android providers there. Next, also on the Android side, is we can now configure Android Zero Touch devices directly from the admin console. There's also a new Google Calendar appointment scheduling feature being released. Google Chrome browser management is getting a little bit more prominent placement there in the admin console, which I think is rolled out to a lot of people already, and you've probably seen that happen already there in the admin console. There's some improved search results with Google Chat. You can also, the presented content with Google Meet is going to be in a bit higher definition in their recordings there. So that, I thought we had seen some of that, some of those updates before, but looks like that is finally coming out in the recordings. I think we saw some one-on-one improvements there with 1080p. Next, we can now build content more quickly in Docs with instant access to building blocks and more. So those are those little bits there where you can start to compose an email and do that within the doc and collaborate on that. Definitely use that one a lot myself and appreciate being able to access those a bit more quickly. Next, you can start to allow users to install and run any internal apps from the marketplace. We have also a little update here on the contact delegation situation. So there's kind of a timeline update here with that, which will be the 12th of November. So make sure that your users are aware of that. And then finally, wrapping up the updates for the week, we have a new view in Google Drive is going to show the recent activity all in one place. Those are the comments, approvals, and things like that. And then, as I said, version 82 with Drive for Desktop is coming out. So the pretty minor update there. So there's some bug fixes and performance improvements. And then a little note here about for best OS, Mac OS compatibility. They recommend that we wait until Mac OS Sonoma 14.1 comes out before upgrading to Mac OS Sonoma. And I don't know, Jesse, if you had seen all of the issues regarding that when it came out. Drive for Desktop had some pretty significant issues, honestly. It was, essentially moving around a whole bunch of files in a lot of users' My Drive and Share Drive environments. It was kind of chaotic in terms of what was happening. And I don't know how widespread it was, but there was definitely a few people commenting about that within like Mac admins and Better IT and things like that. So it was, not a very good experience for users upgrading to Mac OS Sonoma there. I luckily have not seen that occur on any of my devices just yet. I think I have one on Sonoma, the laptops in Sonoma, and I have Drive on there. I haven't seen anything happen with that. I've been also running some of the betas. I'm on Ventura on the desktop here that I'm on right now with you. So I guess I'll hold off on upgrading the desktop. The desktop, I've seen a lot of issues though before with,
Right,
like, I don't
you've
know, just
had
like the,
issues there.
yeah, Drive for Desktop on my Mac Mini has been just problematic for a long time, where there's like it just kind of crashes, there's kind of permission issues, I don't know, whatever's happening, but it generally does okay other than getting all those little errors. But I'll hold off a little bit to upgrade on the desktop here.
Yeah. So I saw Kim Nielsen talking about this bug that was moving things around, and that's really scary as far as things that are not, being moved into places that shouldn't be as far as access goes. And I am running Sonoma on the beta, and I'm not running beta Drive File Stream. But as soon as I saw that, I immediately closed down Drive File Stream and stopped it from starting up with the computer, and I haven't had it open since. So I am running 14.1, and I do have an update waiting for me on let me just see which one this is over on the beta channel for Sonoma. It is 14.1 beta 2. So that's coming, getting closer for everybody else. Usually it's beta 3 or 4, and then they let it out to everyone else, and I guess I would have to boot up Drive File Stream and see what version I'm on here. But I guess now I should update it because hopefully this does fix those changes. But I have not heard that they are fixed. So if you have heard otherwise, please let us know.
Yeah, I gotta check and see if I can get into the beta on my laptop here, or I don't know if I want to be, I guess, but I'm just on 14 at the moment there, so we'll wait and see.
Right.
All right, so that is the Drive for Desktop update that we have for you there. Really small BARD update. I don't know if you're interested in that. Go check it out. There's something that happened with that. I think like something minor updated with that. Looking at Chrome Enter, or sorry, Chrome OS, or Chrome in general, sorry. 118 is out, some new policies in the M console there. I'll run through those. So looking at about five, six new updates, six new admin console policies you'll see there. Forcing permission policy, unload default enabled. Something with legacy site compatibility there. A Chrome safe browsing parameter for safe browsing surveys enabled. The emoji picker GIF support enabled. There are some user experiences setting there. We have two, three more. Here we go. User accessibility with color correction enabled. Content category here with create passkey in cloud keychain. Probably so that's something there that you might want to check out. Sounds interesting. I did notice, I don't know if you did, have you done passkeys yet with your Google accounts?
I have
Okay.
getting
Did
a
have you done
little
them
confusing on that
just
because I did it on
recently
my
or way before? Like when it
I
first
did
got
it I
announced?
think when shortly after it was first announced,
Okay.
and I have had an issue now on my phone where I had set up passkey under iCloud, but I wanted to use Keeper, which is my password
Yeah.
management tool for my passwords, but I have my passkey on the iPhone on through iCloud. So I can't
Interesting.
use passkeys on iCloud and passwords on Keeper. There's no way to distinguish between the two. It's one or the other. So I have to move my passkey for my account on my phone over to Keeper. On my Mac, it's been no problem. It's set up on my Mac
Okay.
and I use my fingerprint and boom, it goes.
Yeah.
Why? What have you
Yeah.
seen?
Well, I mean, just, yeah, just a little bit, a lot of unusual or just evolving process with all of that. So, when it first came out, adding my passkey from my Mac OS device and the kind of login flow that Google had, it was like I was having to click like five more times, like three or four times to get to my passkey. I'm like, this is not any faster. Like, this is a lot longer. Why did I do this? Like, security keys were a lot
Right.
faster.
Yeah, we were talking about
So,
this.
yeah. So that was really unusual and unexpected. And that has since changed. And I didn't really see any kind of announcement from Google or anything. They just kind of fixed it silently, I think, is what happened in Chrome. So, now even on my Mac Mini, I mean, I don't even touch anything. There's no fingerprint or anything. It's just the device itself is the passkey. So, once I've authenticated onto my profile, it logs me in, which I think is not ideal, like, right? So it's, I don't know how that's happening or what I did to allow that to happen. But I, you know, once I log into my account and, you know, come back from the lock screen, for example, if I need to reauthenticate, it just says, oh, do you want to log into your passkey? Continue. I'm in. Like, I don't have to do a fingerprint or anything on my Mac Mini.
Really? So, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have, you have the fingerprint keyboard, yeah?
No, I do not. I have some Logitech K811.
Oh, that's right.
From Switzerland from 5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, no like biometrics or anything like that that it's asking for. You know, it's essentially if I've left my computer unlocked and someone wants to log in and they can kind of access it, which I don't think that, I mean, I don't know if that's intended, but that's what's happening. Of course, the laptop is, you know, the Mac Pro is asking for the fingerprint for that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty seamless. You know, it's, you know, I put my email address in. It says, do I need a passkey? It has a screen there. You know, put the fingerprint in and boom, I'm in. That's pretty quick. So it works well. And it is a little, it's more responsive, you know, than having that security key there, even where it was in the computer all the time and you're tapping that. You know, gold disk essentially. It's more responsive than those security keys. Mm-hmm. So that is
that's progress. Good. Yay!
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we have that last one there. Sorry, one more. So another Chrome safe browsing admin console policy that's going to be showing up, which is safe browsing proxied real time checks allowed. So go and check those out on the Chrome Enterprise kind of update site. Along with a lot of other updates that, of course, came along with those. One of the other interesting ones that I saw here was actually, what was it? It was something to do with, it's actually an interesting one. And I don't know the logic behind this. So, you know, Chrome OS devices, if you have had those in the past and you've stored, or if you've had those before, you may have stored local data on them, you know, local memory, right? So you download files, typically by default, they go to local storage. And let's say you forgot your password. You know, an admin has to reset your password. Essentially, any of that data that was on that local disk is lost, right? Because the data was encrypted with that password. You don't know what that is. You can't decrypt it anymore. So you've essentially, you know, lost that data on that device. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's this new setting now that's come out with 118 to allow Chrome OS devices to still, regain access to that data on a password reset for a user not knowing that password. So, you know, anytime I see things like that where it was, oh, well, before that data was encrypted and you couldn't restore it if you forgot your password, now you can. To me, that just means like somewhere there's a way that they know the encryption key. And,
right.
You know, it doesn't, you know, from a security perspective, that doesn't sound good to me.
Right.
So I don't know what they had to do to get that, but, you know, that is that's one of the updates that Chrome OS has from a device perspective, and they're calling that the. Let's see where this came from. Chrome OS. Looking at this here, where did it go? Recovery, password recovery. Yeah, it says Chrome OS users who have forgotten their password can now recover their account along with all associated local data. Gone are the days where all local data is lost when a password has been forgotten, and they kind of, you know, they. Exclamation point that. I mean, I don't know. Just to me, that doesn't sound good to me from a security perspective. But
I can see it from both sides. You know, on one hand, if you forgot your password, you don't necessarily want to lose everything. On the other hand, from a security point of view, I really hope it does.
I don't know. Unless they're somehow sending, I don't know, like an encryption key back up to your user profile in the account that's stored with Google. And they're using that to decrypt that part of the account and part of the data of the device. I don't know. I wish I'd seen a little bit. I wish they had released a little bit more background in terms of how that was achieved. You know.
Well, we're gonna have to get Alex on and ask him about it.
Yeah. So, even like the main profile or like the main policy setting here doesn't really talk too much about that, but I'm sure there's a. Mm-hmm. Something that was talked about, how that came about. All right, let's move on before we get delayed too much here. So Chrome OS updates or Chrome 118 release summaries, we talked about that. And then I think we hadn't quite got into the other news topics, but Nope. We will do that. So we have four of those. Zoom launches a major shot across Google's bow with some Docs announcements. So trying to get into the whole collaboration space with that.
Called Google it. Plus,
yeah. We have been talking about that for a little while and hinting at that. Mm-hmm. Google Cloud Security Talks on the 25th of October for Americas, EMEA, and Asia Pacific will be happening. I'm actually going to a C2C event tomorrow at the Google offices here in Chicago. So I will be there in the afternoon.
Mine 25th got
birthday for Google. Yours, oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Oh. The event of the goose. I'm very sad.
There. Did you go to the SADA one? Because SADA had an event at the goose.
The SADA
as well.
One, yeah, just came and went. I think, I don't know. I missed that one somehow.
All right,
I had heard it was coming and then I just didn't see it.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Okay. Yeah, they did a little, not like world tour, but a US tour.
Yeah, I usually go to their events. I don't know what happened.
Yep, it was when did they do that? It was the 5th, which was last week, Friday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. 25th birthday to Google. Yep, we kind of talked about that a little while ago. I actually took a photo there at Google when I was there a week in front of the balloons.
Very nice.
Actually, no, I just took a photo of the balloons. I wasn't in it myself.
But, well, this has some Google 25 facts.
Yes, and we were also checking out a lot of the swag that Google has now for the 25th birthday on their merchandise store. Did you end up ordering any of those or just looked at them and wanted to order?
I ordered a whole bunch. And,
Oh, boy.
I discovered some kind of a secret.
I didn't pull the trigger yet.
I discovered some kind of a secret loophole. I don't exactly know how, what, when, why, or whatever.
Loophole.
I got the employee discounts on my entire order. I don't know. I'm not complaining. I clicked something, and all of a sudden, the view changed, and it seemed like there were some more options available, and everything was significantly cheaper. So I splurged on a few extra things, because why not?
Were you logged in?
Just logged in through TabGeeks.
I was wondering, is that the account that is linked to Champion Innovators?
It is. That may have something to do with it. Perhaps that's a hidden perk that I didn't know about.
Or they didn't know about either.
Or they didn't. The program leads don't know that this exists.
Yeah. I wonder, I might have to reach out to some other innovators and see if that happens for them as well.
Yeah, there you go.
When did you do it last week or the day that we're on the call?
Last week sometime, yeah.
With Christian? Yeah, okay.
Probably just after that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we talked about it though, but it's not out yet, but well, no, we did not talk about the episode though. So the other week we recorded an episode with Christian Newman over Rise Digital up in Canada, talking about why businesses should work with a Google partner and what partners can and can't do and what are the benefits and a lot of insight into the kind of partner ecosystem and things that are going on there. Never a short episode, of course, when you get people like us together. So that was about an hour long episode talking about all that.
And that's why we recorded it as a solo, because short episode when the three of us are schmoozing.
Could you imagine doing it today with this week? We've been a 2-hour episode, jeez.
At least a 2-hour episode. But no, it was a different, it had a very different feel to it because it wasn't attached to the news. So we were free to just kind of schmooze about a lot of the other stuff. I mean, we had loose notes as we usually do, but it was a really good episode.
Yeah, we did have a few topics in there that were update related, but we shied away from them just given the time that we had. And I'm sure we'll talk to Christian again in the future about some of those updates and get his perspective on those.
That episode will probably come out next week because SaaS Showdown returns this week.
Ooh.
Season four.
Look at all these little updates we're throwing in. We don't even have in the show notes. Just toss them in there.
You know?
There we go.
Filtered in.
That's how we go. Last news update that we have for the week is that Google is updating these Chrome OS devices with Chromebook Plus features. So I think we talked about Chromebook Plus and how some of those specs were a little bit underwhelming for us.
Disappointing.
And yes, all of the above. But there'll be some updates coming to that with this news article here that Jesse will talk about later. All right.
Yep.
Let's dive into the details.
Hold on real quick here. I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Jamf for making these weekly updates possible. I know we've mentioned Jamf a few times, and we did just do our Jamf certification live recording. So pay attention to the channel for the better quality version of that coming out soon. But I want to do a quick product spotlight on their access and identity management solution. That's called Jamf Connect. If you're familiar with GCPW or the Google credential provider for Windows, you'll understand the benefit of Windows using their Google of employees, sorry, using their Google identity to log into their computer. It can reduce password fatigue and eliminate IT tickets. Well, Jamf Connect does that and so much more for the Apple devices in your company. By letting employees use their same Google identity to set up an account and log into their Mac, users can have a simpler time starting with a new company or starting their day. In addition to account creation capabilities, users know that they can work safely from everywhere because their connection is secured with zero trust network access. This is an amazing solution for companies with Apple devices, and it can be integrated with Google Identity and most other identity providers. If you want to learn more, head over to jamf.com/workspace recap. Once again, jamf.com/workspace recap. Steve, did you want to throw something in there? Sounded like you were on the button.
No. I was just a longer kind of discussion there about Jamf. Some interesting stuff there with that.
Yeah. It's a good show. So, all right. Now back to the show. Get into the updates. Yeah.
We'll do. All right. So first one that we had there is the emoji reactions and to comments in Google Sheets. So that is going to now be available to allow you to add your emojis to comments in Google Sheets to let people know how you're feeling about what they may have said. That is going to roll out to wrapped release domains now, and then it'll be out to the scheduled release domains starting the 19th of October and available to all Workspace customers and personal Google accounts as well. Then next, in terms of the second releases, we have the ability to filter by filter-only fields and parameters with connected Google Sheets for Looker. So there'll be support for some two additional field types there to allow you to filter in connected sheets, which would be filter-only fields and parameters. So those new options will give you some more ways to explore that semantic layer of the data, and you'll be able to recreate some advanced filtering in Looker Explorers or dashboards using those connected sheets for Looker. So that is rolling out to wrapped release and scheduled release domains now and available to all of those Workspace customers and personal Google accounts, of course, that are using Looker. So it'll be available to those customers.
You can see how much Steve hates the emoji reactions update because he said 10 words and zoom right on past it. I have bad news for you, Steve. I have bad news for you.
Yeah.
I forgot to put this in the notes, but it reminded me. Google is launching emoji reactions in Gmail. This is a keyword article that just came out today. I don't know the details on it. I don't know. It's coming to personal Gmail accounts. You see a smiley face icon appear below their messages on mobile and desktop. You can click it to select an emoji from the menu and then simply tap one to send it. So if you didn't want to use Bard or Duet to write an extremely long, lengthy generative AI reply, now you can just give a thumbs up instead to an email. So, and Steve will probably hate everything about that, but I'll throw that out for next week.
I don't know. It just seems like it's such a, so much effort being put into something like that when
there's
so
a lot other things of that focus can be done, on emojis this year. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. Like, there's so many better things that could be done with people's time than emojis.
I am curious when and if this is going to come to Workspace proper.
Okay. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right. Next update. First one we have from the week is the ability to configure and bind multiple Android Enterprise Mobility Management providers together. So this means that before you can only have one EMM provider within your organization. So if you had, let's say, acquisition, for example, right? And you were using one EMM provider and acquiring another company, you really had only one option is to move them into your main one. So There's some flexibility here where you can choose the right EMM for each user group in your org, and pick one for engineers or for retail staff, for example. There's some enhanced controls. So as you can have now multiple instances of the same EMM provider, be able to kind of have that flexibility there, not just with multiple ones, but even with the same one. So if you have a cloud instance or an on-prem instance of different EMM providers, you can also configure that as well. And also talking about easier migrations, so being able to run those will allow you to run multiple ones. It'll allow you to perform phase migrations from an old EMM provider to a new one over time as well. So yeah, a lot of improvements in flexibility there with that. Looking at rollout for this one, there's a few more details there for admins and things with private apps, the Google Play Store, details. But if you are looking to use this already, it looks like this feature is available now for all environments that have that. And it says it's available to all Google Workspace customers, but I do know that like MDM functionality and features started to move into some of the higher tiers, right? Especially the advanced MDM features. So
yeah,
there's a baseline level available to all Workspace customers, from starter and up. But if I think a lot of the more advanced ones that you would typically see with third-party EMMs are going to be available in those higher tiers. So I don't know if the EMM providers are available in even in standard or in starter, for example. But I know the Google MDM settings are limited when you are in starter. Still talking about Android devices, you can now start to configure Android device zero-touch devices there directly from the admin console. So they'll be integrating the Android zero-touch iframe within the admin console there for a little bit more seamless of an experience.
Yay!
this is kind of where those devices that you may be purchasing from, CDW, Insight, wherever your provider of choice is, they're going to have those devices already linked to your admin console. You'll provide your reseller VAR, whoever that is, with a token. They will put that into, to the portal on their side, and then those devices will start to show up prior to those to the delivery. And with this update here, you'll be able to do these things directly from the admin console, like set the Workspace provided configurations for zero touch devices. You'll be able to link some Google Workspace accounts to those devices there, and ensure that they will always enroll under the Google endpoint management. You also have the ability to have to unlink accounts if needed. And one thing here is to kind of be mindful of is that the Workspace can be linked to multiple zero touch accounts, but a zero touch account can be linked to only one Workspace account. So keep that in mind there. This is looking like it's going to be available to all customers as of now, both rapid release and scheduled release domains, and will be available to most environments, Business Plus, Enterprise Essentials. It looks like Business Plus and up here. I'm just looking at the list of the rest of these here.
Business Plus, Enterprise Standard ones. And up.
Yeah, Education Fundamentals, Education Standards. So it looks like all the education ones.
Well, Frontline Starter and Standard, but that's because they have as a perk of Frontline, which they're finally talking about. Yay.
A little bit more. there's two now. So they didn't really talk about the two different tiers. They, Starter and Standard is really just one Frontline CQ before. But it's not that, but it's kind of like some things are better with Frontline SKU. Some things are better with the G Suite Lite SKU. Right.
Well, the G Suite Lite SKU you can't really get anymore. So
you can't. No, if you're grandfathered into it, though, you have some, decisions to make, I guess, is until they tell you you have to get off of it. But yeah, definitely more of the kind of enterprise, some of the more, Workspace features that came out are linked to the Frontline SKUs, but less storage, for example, is one of them.
Yes.
And also Cloud Any Premium customers will also have that available to them. All right. Next, some improvements to the appointment scheduling features. So obviously a new feature. So this will allow you to have here 5 to 14 5 to 14 minute appointment slots that are customizable.
Yeah, that took me a few tries also when I first read that.
Yep, that is what it is. So previously the minimum duration was 15 minutes. So it's allowing you to have a little bit shorter meetings. I mean, I guess that's nice.
It takes me 5 minutes just to start my meeting. Never mind end it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's having 5 minute meetings, but if you can do a meeting in 5 minutes, amazing. Great. Yeah.
Well done. In and out.
Yep.
That is a highly efficient individual right there.
I know. Yeah.
So I don't think Elon Musk has 5 minute meetings. And he runs like 16 companies.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do any of them well, perhaps. I got the new book. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yoink.
Okay. Next, the option to hide or show appointment schedules within the calendar view on the web. That's a good one because I started creating a bunch of appointment schedules for, you know, one was for myself individually, one was for, you know, with the engineers, one was with my whole team, one was including, you know, a personal calendar, and it was like just overwhelming. Like every single day I had like 5 overlapping appointment schedule calendars and it was just taking up all the space everywhere. So This will allow you to just kind of hide those, get this out of the way and show them when you need to, maybe grab the link if you don't have them saved somewhere else. And, you know, really don't need to see them unless you're editing them or making adjustments to them. So I would say, you know, once you've created it, grab your link and, you know, save that link somewhere else, maybe put an email template, in your account and have those links to your different appointment calendars. That's probably what I would do.
I usually create a replace text shortcut. So like
shortcuts. Oh, like on the Mac, you like a
keyword. Well, on the Mac, like I type,
Okay.
So I'll type meet with 3 E's and it'll automatically convert to here's my calendar, feel free to book a time and here's a link. Because then that way, just as I'm pounding out an email, I can just throw it in there. Or if it's just a quick reply that says, hey, book a time on my calendar, I just one word with one misspelling in it. And then.
Yeah, I haven't configured any of those.
Those are powerful. Kind of
like misspelling or, you know, unique. I do it in Chrome. I do it in Chrome for search. So I have, you know, I've shortened, you know, the drive search to just D tab and partner advantage, like the A shared drive is PAA, you know, PAB for partner advantage B. And I don't know, like YouTube is just a Y instead, right? So it's just...
Well, that's just because of the way Chrome works. Yeah, I'm the same way. Usually goes to the admin panel for me, and certainly G goes to Gmail and stuff like that. So yeah, for sure.
I haven't done the admin console yet because I'm always getting like some longer URLs auto as the first result with the admin console. Like I think I went to the meet quality tool too many times. So now that's always the first one that pops up. I'm like, as I start typing admin, you know, it starts going to the quality tool and I'm like, So I should just do the A shortcut to go to the admin console, the main dashboard.
Right. Well, another perk of doing the keyboard replacement is if you're on iOS and Mac, which you're obviously not, but it syncs between the two. So I can do it on both my iPhone and on my Mac. And it's one less thing to configure and remember.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I do not
do use iOS I do like devices. My shortcuts. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Just those two updates are now coming to the appointment scheduling. That is going to be coming out to rep release domains starting the 3rd of October. Pretty quick full rollout, 1 to 3 days for visibility there. Same thing, pretty quick 1 to 3 day rollout on scheduled release domains starting the 16th of October and coming to a select number of workspace customers, Business Standard Plus, Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, and up there. Education fundamentals, looks like all education SKUs here. Nonprofits, we'll see that update. Also, individual workspace individual subscribers, along with personal Google accounts. So most of those other than business starter. Next, as we mentioned in that kind of rundown of updates, this one is bringing those Chrome browser management features little bit more prominent to you in the admin console. So it'll allow you to get to those settings a little bit quicker with giving you a Chrome browser option and drop down menu there. So that will be right there in the admin console for you to see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of reorganizing things around a little bit more. So you'll have Chrome browser guides and the submenus with guides, manage browser settings, tokens here, apps and extensions, connectors. So it looks like, yeah, a few little new things there that you may not have seen in before. I don't remember seeing tokens and connectors before in the previous one. They were kind of like
hidden.
It's hidden. Yeah, exactly. They were hidden down there.
Buried.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this, a lot of people have already seen it. I saw a lot of discussions on different forums and groups and stuff who were like, oh, that moved. Is this new? It's like, yep, literally just announced it. So,
yep. And it looks like, yes, yeah, slightly different than what we see in the photo. So, you know, we're seeing guides in the photo from the update, and it's called Setup Guides actually in the console.
Whoops.
Managed browsers there, settings, tokens. Yeah. Apps. Oh, I see apps and instead of apps, ampersand. That's a little different.
It's spelled out.
As well, spelled out. Yep. And then let's see. Connectors, versions, all that's. Yeah, I think a few little minor differences there, but mostly all the same as we see. So that, yeah, as I said, that is rolling out already, started on the 3rd of October. 1 to 3 days for visibility there on both rep release and schedule release domain. So that's probably why you've seen it already, because it should be done and out already.
Mm-hmm.
And then availability is all Chrome Browser Cloud Management and Google Workspace customers. All right, next, some improvements to search results in Google Chat. I don't know if it's improvements, but I've seen them getting worse and worse, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some searches recently in the last week or so, and it's like, I wonder if the update made it worse because I just wasn't seeing the results I expected. It wasn't as accurate as I thought it would be. You know, we have customer names, for example, in our spaces that is in a specific space, and it's, you know, our thread talking about that customer. And I would, you know, typically when I would search for that customer name, you know, one of the very first results would be the very first post that was bolded that was part of that thread. And I have not been seeing that come up anymore. And it's been I just haven't been able to find it. A lot of times search results on the web were a little bit better, or it's, you know, it's at least a little bit easier to kind of find that versus on the phone. But I think the phone search and the desktop search have always been a little bit different. But I was noticing this across both desktop and mobile, that search was actually getting worse, and it wasn't actually finding what it used to find as well as it did. So I think, again, I will not think again, but I think that this might be linked to the changes that's happening with the threading and how that's all changing and adapting. Mm-hmm. Moving to these kind of the new you know, inline threading versus the topics. I think that's what's happening here. It's just not working as well as I have seen it in the past.
Do you think it takes time for, like, when they make a change to re-index ish?
Hmm.
It's like they announce a change and then you got to give it a week to relearn your stuff. How much AI is being used here, Google?
Well, I don't think that's AI. I mean,
yeah, know.
The whole term of AI either too is just really, it's all just someone coding, you know, a formula and an algorithm. That's all it is. It's the same thing it's always been. It's just someone writing some code. That's all it is, right?
Well, generative is a little bit different, but when you're talking about search,
is it? I mean, is it actually like, is it writing new code and writing new results and like adapting to?
It's predictive as opposed to.
But
hard-coded or algorithmic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask somebody who knows more about this shit than I do. But
right.
As I understand that it's able to do it on its own at a much greater extent than an algorithm would.
But is it?
It's not true.
There's the AGI, code there that tells it what to do. That's what it's always like. You have search results that it goes out and finds things based on what it's been coded to go find, right?
Yes. So this is the issue that I've always had.
It's like it's not
doing. This is the issue that I've always had with the term AI, is that the field goal, yeah, you know, the end posts keep moving, right? If we were to take, I don't know, Siri, when she was invented for, whoops, now she's listening on my phone, for 2014 or whatever the iPhone 4 right. was, which by today's standards is garbage, and take it to somebody in 1990, they'd be like, ooh, AI, it thinks for itself, you can talk to it, oh my God, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, it's not that impressive to me just yet. To me, it's just like, it's okay, it's finding things better. I mean, people are just, has, you know, they made it find information better, great, it's always been there, it's just interpreting it better, or it's understanding a little bit better, but it's still coded to do that from the beginning. It's, I don't know. So when I think of AI, right, I think of something that has been said, you know, here, start to do this, but then do what you want with it afterwards, and like, you know, expand and like think on your own, which I don't think it's doing. It's not doing that, right? Because if I, you know, tell the application to, like, you know, find, you know, the meeting that's happening tomorrow, and it's just like, what do you mean, what meeting? Well, obviously the meeting that's in my account, it's there, like you should have access to it, like you should know it's there, you should be able to find it. If you didn't have access to it in your current coding, you should know that, oh, I can access your account, and there's a calendar there, it's a thing called calendar, and there's data there, and like, oh, I found something here. Do you mean the calendar's over here that I didn't think I had access to, but I do? Like, that's, to me, that's AI, right? That's artificial intelligence. And, you know,
but by your own argument, is coding that says, right, they have to code it to give it access.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. True. Exactly. But it could just be simply like, you know, go and look at all these things, right? That's it. And then figure it out from there. But that's not really what it is. So, all right. So what they say here is going to happen with search is that there's machine learning models will be used. We'll use the search terms. Machine learning. There we go. We're going back a step here.
Walked into that one.
Look at that. Machine learning models. We'll use a search term, most recent chat conversations and direct messages and spaces, and some other factors to help you find more accurate and relevant chat message results. Yes. So, you know, I like the results before the machine learning models were being added, but here we are.
I've noticed Gmail search getting progressively worse over the years, to be honest, and I hope that something ticks here that reverses that trend. Yeah, just searching for things, finding relative responses in ways that we used to does not seem to work the same way, and it doesn't seem to work as well for, I mean, my workflow, perhaps. Maybe it's different than other people's workflow. Maybe Google's decided you should be looking for more of this information in your searches and change the way search works. But it used to be, if I could search for, you know, a title of an email or the subject line of an email, it would freaking come up. And now if it's too old or, you know, too deranked for whatever reason, it's buried.
Yeah.
Yet it exactly matches my search terms precisely. Right.
And you have to like put title before it and put the, the parameter.
And the fact of the matter is that oftentimes a lot of people are still searching for the subject line of the email because they remember that they know that it had that, or they have a forwarded and a re off of, you know, that original email thread, and they want to find the original, which has already been forked because we still coexist in an Outlook world. And you just search for that one, that, you know, that thread directly, and can't find it. So I hope that, you know, I mean, this is obviously a chat update, but I think that,
well, it's, but no, related. It's definitely related, because I also noticed that too, when they started to release, again, what they thought was going to be, you know, improved Gmail search results, and you're seeing, and you're on your mobile device, I'm seeing these two suggested results, which are never what I was looking for. Yeah. And before, I was always seeing my results within, you know, the top five or six, like always at the top. And you're right. I mean, I'm not seeing in the top two ever, really. I never see it in the top two. What's supposed to be the, you know, the improvements, right? And down below that, it's just, I'm having to scroll and find or add another term to find some of those messages that I probably would have found before with just that initial string, right?
Right.
Yeah. Some more details here about the update. So by default, those search results will be sorted by relevance. You'll have the option to change that result to sort it by, I think, recency, and I forget what else. I was giving you some options for, don't see that. They didn't mention that there, but there's some other options there in the dropdown. And also if you unselect only conversations I'm in, the top there, you'll also see matching results from spaces that you're not part of, but also the option to join. So that probably could help you find some information that you may not have known existed. So that is definitely a welcome change there if that wasn't available before, or if just, you know, more prominent now, it's going to be easier to find some information you may not have known about.
Yeah, and the GIF here has the additional filters from in, date, has file, has link, mentions me, only conversations I'm in. So that's a new level of searching here that is, you know, I think going to be very helpful going forward.
Can be, I guess. But again, like I said, I was able to search for stuff really up. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, before I didn't have to have all these parameters before. Like I was just searching for specific terms and kind of finding it. It was like right there. So whatever I was doing before, it was doing well, and just have to readjust on how it's looking for information now. All right. A few more updates here. I've got quite a few more updates to go. So pretty long episode this week.
Get moving.
All right.
A lot of schmoozing on this one.
A bit. We're talking about presented content in Google Meet. It's going to be in higher definition during those recordings. So for those recorded meetings, they're going to be increased from the maximum resolution for shared content from 720p to 1080p.
Finally.
I know, finally. There's been so many events that I've recorded screen sharing stuff in. And it's just like, when I go back to look at it, I'm like, I can't see the recording of the screen share.
It's pathetic. It's useless.
Hopefully this will help and improve things. Yeah, it was a challenge. Like, you know, you have this recording of an event that you want to look at and the screen share there, and it's like, I can't see that unless someone really zoomed in. So not much you can do, but hopefully this will improve those things.
Didn't they say at one point that like screen sharing was in 1080, but only if it was under certain
parameters? If you were casting it from, I think, the Chromecast button or something like that into a meeting, or you had to initiate a certain way.
It was weird.
It was being improved. Yeah, this was way back. This was way back when. This is when I was doing, with London. I was in one of the companies there. Yeah, but the casting from Google was an improved experience with it. Yeah, into the meetings. And it would also, it was something to do with presentations as well. Improving that with like video.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Video embedded with presentations with slides.
Now it comes to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. So this is exactly. So when you are sharing content there in a meeting and it's being recorded, that will increase.
Of course.
The rest of the meeting. Those remains 720.
God.
Fine.
Why? I
mean, why is the reason why really is because they're doing it, you know, on their infrastructure, and they're doing it to millions of people all at once. And the,
You know, great.
When you do it locally on your device in an app that's on your device, it's a different situation. You know, it's a whole different experience. They're having to do everything on their infrastructure and in the cloud.
Even still,
that level is, you know, it's a lot. So
even still, I hold Google to a higher standard. Okay.
It's true. Absolutely.
Get on it, Google.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. This one rolled out to both rapid release and scheduled release domains starting on the 3rd of October. So that should be done in a few more days to everyone. On that gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility. This one will only be available to Business Plus, Business Standard, Education Plus, Enterprise Essentials, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Standard, and Enterprise Starter, along with the Teaching and Learning Upgrade customers. So limited availability on this one, so not available to everyone. Next, we have some kind of making it a little more prominent here on how you can find these building blocks within Docs. So build content more quickly in Docs with instant access to building blocks and more. So we'd be able to insert these building blocks for kind of different types of content. I was talking about emails earlier, but also meeting notes and a few other things as well will be available there once you start hitting that preferred button, which, you know, of course, as Jesse knows, you can customize that on your device if you're on a Mac. I think Windows too. So there'll be kind of just some changes there. I don't know. I mean, just trying to think here. So, click your preferred mouse button or choose at more. I'm trying to say like what is actually different other than the view of this is just different. I mean, do you have you seen
this show up there? Yeah.
Is it always available now at the top? Is it?
I think so.
Just yeah. Always visible. Is that what they're saying?
Instead of just putting an ad in or whatever. Yeah.
Well, because you used to always see the, like the text that was initially there, that you know that gray text, right, that said, you know, try you know at name, to mm-hmm. insert you know custom drop down menu, right? And you know maybe you know right now, and that would bring that. You know, that sub menu then down with a whole bunch of options of people and different dates and all these other, that, you know, all the drop downs are available. And, you know, what it looks like in this screenshot is that on the creation of a brand new document, you're going to get those options, you know, by default, and it's already visible there to you. So
I will add here update that, I will add here that in the screenshot, it shows the meeting notes, email draft, and the at symbol and more as the three buttons that are available at the top there.
Right.
Duet is also there for those that have access to Duet.
Ooh, okay.
Such as myself. And I will try to remember to grab a screenshot of that where it has the help me write with the color gradiented magical looking button as a fourth button there at the beginning of the row.
Got it. Yeah, I haven't seen this update hit any of my accounts just yet, so I'm not seeing any of that at the moment.
Interesting. Well, it's rolling out.
It is indeed. So that has started. Also, the 3rd of October to rapid release domains for on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there, and then scheduled release domains. We'll start to see that later in the month on the 18th. Also on a gradual 15-day rollout for visibility. And this will be available to all Workspace customers, as well as those with personal Google accounts. Some additional details here is that the row of buttons will only appear at the top of newly created empty Google Docs, meaning you will not see these options in documents with existing content. And selecting that add more option. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, that makes sense, I guess. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Your docs are already written. You don't need their help.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, you'd probably use that. You would have the email template section already in there if you wanted to have a template of an email template, I guess. But I don't know why you would do that, but I guess that's what you would do. All right. Next update here is about a marketplace application. So you start to allow users to install and run any internal app from Marketplace. So some new admin controls here to control whether users can install and run any internal app from the Google Workspace Marketplace, along with their allow listed third-party apps. So that added feature will, you know, of course, give some admins more control over how those users can start to customize user access to trusted internal apps based on those certain policies that you're going to have and those security requirements and those user needs. So that will be over there in your admin console to make those adjustments. And rollout for this one. I'm just looking at this here. Let's just see if anything down here. Yeah, there's some other things for admins about API controls and restricting access. Have a look at that a little bit more closely if you want to restrict that. But rollout for this one is on extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days, and that started on the 4th of October for both rapid release and scheduled release domains, and it will be available to all Workspace customers. Two more updates to go here, and then we will get over into Jesse's news updates. Just an update on the timing here about contact delegation. So there were some announcements back in May about changes to contact delegates and, kind of reapproval process. So as part of that change there, you've got to start to you need to review and approve existing delegates by the 12th of November. Or those users will lose existing delegates. So, you know, really not a big thing. Users, if they forget to do that, just redelegate it. Just reissue that. But and it's been prompting me, I think, on all my accounts and saying, "Do you want to still do this?" And it's just another reminder if people have been ignoring that or not saying yes and agreeing to it. There are some admin SDK APIs to help with this process. And that method kind of helped take care of reapproving delegators on behalf of the delegator there. So if you have a lot of this in your, if you have a big organization and this happened a lot, there's some APIs there to help you. Hopefully you've already taken care of this already because it was announced quite a while ago. But keep in mind that will be changing November 13th, end of this year. And that is going to impact all Workspace customers. I think I was saying that delegators will start to see those prompts and contacts as they review who currently has access to that. So yeah, if your users aren't going to contacts that often, they probably won't see that prompt. If they're just leveraging the contacts that exist and having them pop up in Gmail and anywhere else, they may not actually see that. So you may need to help them out with some of those API calls and getting that updated for them. All right. Finally, last but not least, we have a new view in Google Drive that's going to show you the recent activity all in one place. So just below priority, and actually priority, I think, is even, I don't really see priority, I don't think, anymore. I see
going home. Away, I believe.
So
changing, yeah.
It's an interesting screenshot here. There's also like nuances to what they're sharing now in these updates. And, my view is home, activity, workspaces. In this screenshot here, we're looking at priority activity workspaces. So a little bit different to what we're seeing in the screenshot here. But the main thing that they're talking about here is that you have all the different kind of updates and activity, coming into one consolidated view and place there. So anything that is going to be things that you need to action, so approvals, comments, those kind of things, you'll be able to see that there from the activity tab on the left side of your Drive console. And rollout on this one started the 5th of October for rep release domains on that extended rollout, a little bit longer than 15 days, potentially. For scheduled release domains, that will start just before Halloween on the 30th of October. And that is going to be also a gradual rollout. Up to 15 days for that one. Or sorry, it will be a gradual rollout, not the same as before, which was the extended one. So that should be done by mid-November for everyone. And that will be available to all Workspace customers. So that wraps up all the updates that we have this week. Quite a lot. And we are over an hour, it looks like, just on updates. So Jesse, I know you will do the news updates quickly, more quickly than I would. So take it away.
Not too quick. Actually, I did have one point on this last one here. I'm looking at this GIF here of the activity pane, and I'm going, this looks quite a bit similar to, one or two steps short of a task management page for approvals and updates and daily tasks and things that are showing up here. If you just take this
and combine it with tasks in a new interface.
Yeah, they're so close. And so they just keep teasing us with, you can assign things in Sheets. Or, you can assign things in Docs. Oh, you can assign things in Spaces. Frickin' combine them already and just give us a task management tool. I love ClickUp. Exactly. I've been using ClickUp
lately. Spend less time updating emojis and work on this. I agree.
Seriously.
I completely agree.
Seriously, they're so close. All right, moving on. I had to throw that out there. I figured it was, at any chance I get, I have to try and make push that into the universe. All right. If competition is always a good thing. So Zoom is finally, as we've been saying, is inevitable for quite some time here, announcing, but it is still coming. They're going to be launching Docs in 2024. And yes, this is collaborative and AI integrated with Zoom as a quote unquote modular workspace. Gee, that word sounds really familiar. I don't quite not quite able to place where I've heard it before, workspace. Essentially, they've got mail, they've got calendar, they've got meetings, chat, voice, and now docs. What are they missing? So very close to a full Office suite alternative to Workspace and obviously Microsoft 365 as well. And they're integrating their own AI-powered tools. So again, competition is a good thing. Bring it on. Some of these docs here look very Notion-y. which is not a bad thing. I think that there's a lot to learn from Notion. And what's the other one? Coda. I think that, you know, they are designed for more of the developer types and the engineer types, but I think that there's a certain structure that really lends to them being second brain type projects where you can dump stuff out of your brain and actually organize your thoughts and help you to remember things. They are supposed to be task management tools, but they are very often used as just a way to organize information. And, you know, sometimes they're better suited for that than actual project management tools or notes. So, yeah, go ahead, Steve.
No, I'm just thinking, like, when you talked about all those things and, you think back on like Evernote, for example, and how much that is not talked about anymore, you know, so things can change and evolve a lot. I mean, that used to be the app
Evernote
I was using.
Fired everybody.
I know, but yeah, it's just, you know, you start seeing names come and go, and
maybe
that was one of
maybe Evernote fired everybody and they all moved to Zoom. Maybe.
So, yeah, I mean, so I think we talked a little bit about this with Christian last week, you know, on there, and I think we've been talking about this before, right? I don't know if we talked about it on the episode. We were definitely talking about it before that recording.
We've brought this up dozens of times.
Well, I was just thinking, like, okay, yes, Zoom has a very, I guess you could say a, you know, an end user, you know, user base, right?
Sure.
They're already using it for meetings. They're very, most users are pretty attached and like Zoom. From the meeting perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So they have that kind of foundation of a user base, right? Which is great. But, you know, on the other side, you know, you had Amazon try to come in there and create, you know, an email and document a platform a while
ago. Did they though?
I know. They did. They did. It was there, right? So, you know, are you going to, I mean, is this enough to convince organizations to move from, you know, Microsoft and Google as their main email collaboration platform? I don't know. I mean, the end user, I mean, it's just going to, I guess it'll depend on what happens with the end users, like, you know, how loud they are and how much, you know, they say, hey, we want this and this is what we want.
Yeah.
And how willing companies are going to be to say yes and accommodate those requests. Because, you know, right now, most organizations, they just say yes to pretty much everything. If enough people are screaming, hey, I want this. They give it to them. You know, that's in most of my experience, that's what happens. Of course,
yep.
You know, not every organization like banks aren't going to do that. Of course, there's going to be a lot of process with that. But, you know, the majority of small to medium-sized businesses and, let's say sub 2,000, you know, maybe even 5,000 staff, right? If enough people, I was working with Facebook at one time and talking about, you know, kind of their workspace environment that they had with Google and how that was competing with, you know, the Microsoft team, the teams that wanted to use Microsoft and all these other applications they were using internally. Like even at Facebook, they were using everything because enough people on some teams said they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, corporate apps had to support it at some point, or they had this process where, you know, if just that one team wanted it, you can go off and support it yourself and you can use it yourself and you have to, you know, get it approved from a security perspective, but, you know, your team can't contact help desk for an issue. And then like once it grows to some level, you know, it says, well, all right, well now enough people want it and enough people are using it. Now, you know, internally we're going to support it from a product perspective, right? From a support desk perspective. So, you know, essentially it just comes down to if enough people want it and want to use it, businesses are probably going to use it. So we'll see what, you know, see what people say, see what end users and organizations say to this. And interesting.
Like so
said, competition's good.
I did just check back. I was remembering and I confirmed it. When they announced their mail and calendar offerings, they did say that it was targeting small to midsize. So I think that is definitely they're going for, I guess, a low hanging fruit there, trying to sweep up that whole market. Hopefully they'll get some traction with some of the growing companies that then become larger, not quite enterprises, but businesses, and then traction from there as well. The other thing that I noticed when they were really pushing the phone product as a VoIP phone instead of, you know, like something like Dialpad or RingCentral, they had massively attractive buyout options and discounts and deals and things like that. And if they are going to do that again with this. I think that they really could make a huge dent in it. Another item that I noticed here is that their AI assistant features are included in the subscription of the product, as opposed to Google and Microsoft that are charging $30 a month, yada, yada, whatever, extra per month. So you put it all together and it starts to look a little bit more attractive for a company that is really looking to save money.
Right. It's $12.50 a user per month for that. Then.
Yep. If you're not already incredibly ingrained, or you're a smaller business and looking to make, you know, a move to another all-in-one kind of a system, and you already are using Zoom and like that as your cornerstone, then it starts to make a lot more sense. So, you know, good. Bring on the competition. Let's go.
It's interesting, though, in the article, the Verge article there, where it kind of talks about, you know, Microsoft charges an extra $30 per user per month, and Google said it will do the same. I thought it was the other way around. Like Google said they're going to do 30, and then I thought Microsoft was coming out with it later. But
yeah, well, I feel that Google has to also put out some more information on, like, you've got Duet, right? It's Duet AI. They keep saying it a million times, but Duet in the cloud is different than Duet in Workspace, and yet they're called the same thing. Are they priced the same? Is it included the same? I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's got to be more, and there, of course, will be more information about this. But I think that, you know, because this is still early days, Zoom did a good move in announcing it now, kind of riding that train, and then they will take in a bunch of beta customers, and then, you know, who knows after that? Bring it on. All right. Next up is some security talks, or the Google Cloud security talks. Transform your cybersecurity with frontline intelligence, expertise, and AI-powered cloud innovation. There are three different schedules here, one for the Americas, one for EMEA, or Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and one for Asia-Pacific. And they seem to be the same content. I actually don't recognize anybody on the list of speakers here.
I was actually looking at the same exact thing. I'm looking through the names and I'm trying to figure out if I noticed anyone. It's weird that you were thinking the same thing I was.
Have a show together, because this is how our brains work. We're connectors and operators, and you know, I don't recognize any of these names. So definitely going to have to do some digging on that. I will note one thing about this. A lot of the events I bring on the show to that, you know, people can go to, I often give the caveat that it looks like your typical sales event with some interesting tidbits that you're going to find sprinkled in. I don't think that's the case here. This looks to be much more focused on actual security, overall state of Google security. It's a keynote. Like, these are, I mean, it's 20 minutes. So granted, it's not an extensive keynote, but it's, you know, this is a multi-hour event in total. From 11 a.m. Pacific to 1:47 p.m. Pacific. So, and they somehow managed to get 8 sessions in here. So cramming a lot into there really quickly. But it looks like this is going to actually be quite a loaded event. Hear from experts on the latest threat intel, explore Google Cloud Security, AI Workbench, and Duet AI. There's the sales element there. See how multiple different red teams are ensuring Pixel, AI systems, and more stay secure. That'll be a little bit of both, I imagine. And check out the latest Google Cloud Security product innovations, which is, again, also a little bit of both. But I think that there's going to be a lot more interesting tidbits in this than the normal salesy type events that you might have seen in the past. That's my hunch. I could be totally wrong, but I guess we'll find out on October, what did I say? October 25th?
25th. Yeah. I think Wednesday.
So coming up. All right. Interesting post here just from the keyword, Google, happy birthday, 25th. We talked about this last week and possibly the week before. Just some interesting facts in here, what Google is from, and essentially, you know, interesting facts here. 12 billion is the number of visual searches conducted using Google Lens every month. I didn't know that until I read this article. So figured I would throw this in here. 100 billion suspected spam messages Android protected users from in the last year, thanks to AI. So like everything else, this is partially a marketing post, but also some interesting numbers, especially if you are trying to make the case to your executives about investing in different areas. I always find good, bite-sized tidbits in articles like this are really good to throw in there for, your alpha type executive teams that are looking for something easy to digest. So if you're interested in those, check out the post. And then one last thing that I wanted to put in here was talking about what we previously talked about is Chromebook Plus. A lot of the Chromebooks, or all of the Chromebooks that they announced, are rolling out. But this post says that the existing Chromebook devices that qualify for the new Chromebook Plus program, which again is going to be a lot of them because it was a rather disappointing show of what they said the new standard is. To remind you, i3 12th gen or above, 8 gig of RAM or above, storage whatever, 128 gig, don't care, 1080p with temporal noise reduction. Is that a temporal? Isn't that like time travel?
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking, exactly. I'm thinking like Star Trek here.
Some, right, exactly.
The temporal rift or something like that.
I don't know. Maybe that's a typo in 95 Google, or maybe that's just somebody, you know, made up a gimmicky name there. But essentially, several from Acer, Asus, Dell, the framework laptop Chromebook edition. That makes sense. HPs, several of which I have mentioned here before, the X360 14-inch, which is an old favorite of mine, even though the screen is a little bit dim, the Dragonfly Pro from HP, the Dragonfly Elite from HP, the Enterprise version of the X360, which is the C40, and then basically everything from Lenovo, it looks like here, are all going to get some of the interesting new features that were announced with the Chromebook Plus devices, which is going to be some of the, you know, generative AI things, cooler backgrounds, cooler features, magic eraser in Google Photos, exclusive wallpapers, Drive Workspace File Sync, which is going to be a big one for those of us that are out here. Although I had to really look into that because I'm not really sure how that differs from the regular Drive Sync options that you have there. And you can do more virtual desks, which is an interesting one. And maybe useful to some people, not so much myself, because I have a lot of screen real estate, so generally I don't end up using that. But that's it. It's been a super long episode here, so I will let you all get back to your regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for joining us. You know what to do. Thumbs up, comments down below, subscribe. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time on Google Workspace Recap.